morning, Good Hope. It's good to see you all this morning. I have to admit that I'm a little bit nervous this morning. And I think it has to do with this podium here. I'm used to working in a different environment. So I'm prayerful right now, but I'm trying to imagine something in my head. I can see all of you in all orange, or I can see you in all white. Harris County orange, you allegedly did something. TDCJ white, you guilty. You did something. So I think what I'll do, I'll just imagine you in orange and white. Orange, you allegedly, and white, you guilty, but you in trustee status. See, in Harris County, when you wear the orange and white, you in trustee, you get to walk around outside the facility. But you're still a resident of Harris County. So we all trustees today. And we outside what? The facility, so we get to walk around. But we do know we have home. You know that, right? It's called heaven. It's where Christ is. And although we in this world, because see, here's the thing I got to share with you. I try to share with the brothers and the sisters down there in Harris County, and I try just to be truthful with them. I try to let them know that we as believers, we don't always do what we're supposed to do. We try to act like we do, but the reality is God knows that we don't. And the reason I tell them that, because sometimes they feel like they're defeated because they messed up so bad. But I try to let them know that we all messed up. We all fall short. That's why we have a Christ. So, I'm going to open up with a word of prayer, and then we're going to start. And we're going to just let the Lord do this thing, because I don't know what to do with it. Our God and our Father, we just love you, Lord, and we thank you for this chance and for this opportunity to share our studies, O Heavenly Father, the things that you have made known to me that I get to share with them. And my prayer is, Lord, that everyone will be strengthened in their faith, they will be strengthened in their trust, and they will be even more encouraged to look to you, to lead, to guide, and to empower. For we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you in our name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there's a series in that of Rooted and Grounded in the Experiencing God series, that God speaks through prayer. And I was kind of excited when I heard the young lady in her testimony where she shared with the fact that sometimes she had this idea about God being this strong person that she can't really come to him, in prayer. But one thing that we learn from Scripture is that God encourages us to pray. He tells us to pray without ceasing. When you look in the Old Testament, New Testament, you see the prayers, of the saints. And when you look at the Psalms, you know, the Psalms are really just songs in prayer. Even though they were for that of worship, if you listen to the psalmist and you listen to what he's talking about, he's crying out to God. He said, Lord, I need some help. These people are after me. They're trying to kill me. They're trying to take my life. I need you to take care of them. Get them, Lord. They sound like prayers. And you know, and that's one of the things that I used to struggle with my own self about that of prayer. Because I realized that sometimes I don't know what to pray for. But I'm glad that the Scripture said that God gives us a person in the Holy Spirit who knows how to pray. And he will help us in our prayer. But what I want to talk to you about this morning, because in looking at the root and ground, and Mr. Blackaby pointed out something that opened my eyes to really see, that prayer is a relationship with God. It's a relationship. So that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit about this morning. I want to talk to you about how to build your relationship with God through prayer. And I'm coming from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 14. Verse 9 says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard about it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." See, Paul, in his relationship with God, is praying for the Colossian believers because they are about to experience some people who have come in among them. And these people have a different concept on what it is about that of worship. Right, they're introducing some teaching that really come from out of their own imaginations, and Paul wants the Colossians, the believers, to be rooted and grounded in their faith and in their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if you're going to build your relationship with God through prayer, you must know the will of God in spiritual wisdom and understanding. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. You do know that there's two kinds of wisdom, right? There's human wisdom, and then there's godly wisdom. The problem with human wisdom that it would never lead you to know who God really is. But it's only through godly wisdom that we get to know who he is. See, God's will has already been revealed. You don't have to be on a treasure hunt trying to figure out God's will. His will has been revealed to us in Scripture. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to God, but the things that's been revealed belong to us. See, one of the issues that I have down there at the Harris County Jail, no, be surprised if I talk about them quite a bit this morning, but one of the issues that I have with the brothers in the Harris County Jail, they always come to me with things that really you can't find in the Bible. Brother got upset with me because I didn't know the name of the seven angels. And that was enough for him not to come to the Bible study because I didn't know the seven angels. The only angels I know is the angel of the Lord that you see in Scripture. I know Gabriel and I know Michael. And then I know the angel that's fallen angel, Satan, that he's an angel. And then there's another one that's mentioned in the book of Revelation, Abaddon and Apollyon. That's the same name. But the point is, he fell out on me because I didn't know the same seven angels. And I tried to share with him, look, I'm not looking at all that other stuff that's out there. I believe in the Bible. I hold to Scripture. I tell him, brother, it's enough for me just getting through what? Through the Scriptures, rather than me trying to find out all that other stuff that people bring. But Paul talks about spiritual wisdom and understanding. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, it reads like this. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes understanding and knowledge. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Wisdom, we're talking about wisdom that comes from God. That's divine wisdom. And it's characterized by insight into God's purpose and God's and the ability to live righteously. And you have to understand that it's a gift from God. See, wisdom has to do with the comprehension of truth. And we're talking about what? God's truth. And understanding has to do with the application of that truth. How to take that word and apply it what? To your life. Proverbs 3 verse 13 said, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who obtains understanding. See, prayer is not about us attempting to try to get God to see things from our point of view. Prayer is about us seeing things from God's point of view. See, we are in a relationship with God. You know, if you're in a relationship with one, with someone, you talk with them, you walk with them, you share your hearts and minds with them. You just tell them all the little things about you. They get to know you in a way that nobody else knows you. My wife, she knows me in a way that nobody else does. In the time that we used to court one another, after we got past the introductions and we got to the conversation, and I admit, during those days, I did things. And see, I can't really tell you some of the things that I've done. When I'm at Harris County, I can just let it all hang out. Because nobody's going to look at me funny. But I used to be a musician. Yeah, I used to play the club scene. If you know anything about the club scenes and musicians back in the day, you know they did some things. And my wife, she let me know one day when I came around, because see, she said, if I wanted that, I can go to any corner in Houston and find that. I said, what? I'm thinking in my mind, what's she getting at? And what she was letting me know that she didn't approve of the things that what I was doing. See, when the fellas used to call me, look here, man, we need another horn player. So I say, okay, where you at? And then I go down. They said, we at the Silver Eagle. So I'm on my way to the Silver Eagle over there on Scott Street. And then they'll call me another time and say, hey, we playing over here on Liberty Road. So here I go. I'm going to Liberty Road. But next time when they came after she said that, I say, no, I think I have to pass. And I find myself limiting my time to where I was a student at Texas Southern, just playing in a jazz ensemble and the marching band. But when you're in a relationship, and it's a relationship that you value, it changes your thinking, and it also changes what? Your behavior. And we're in a relationship with God. And because of that relationship, if it's a good relationship, it should change the way you think and the way you behave. Because the other thing you need to know, that if you're going to be a relationship with God through prayer, you must know the will of God is for you to walk worthy of Him. So you walk worthy of Him because you what? You value Him. Because look at what it says in Colossians. It says, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attainment of all perseverance and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share an inheritance of the saints. To walk worthy of Him. It describes what? Our lifestyle, our conduct, our way we speak, the way we carry ourselves in what? In the context of moral and spiritual behavior. See, we got a lot of people who walk worthy of whoever it is that they hold to. You know, we had a lot of people just last week, they had on their jerseys, you know, with Kansas City, you know, the Chiefs, and they had on what? The Eagles, and they were walking worthy of their team. Because why? They were just hollering, and they were screaming. They had the colors. They had the makeup. They showed you who they was what? Who it is they give honor to. We as believers, when we walk in worthy of the Lord, we give honor to who? God. We give honor to what? To Christ. And look what he says here. He says, the reason that he have you walk worthy in him is that you may what? Please him in every respect. But he also say, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. You know, the things that, you know, this is what I love to share with the brothers. I try to let them know. Look here. Look what's happening. We think we're doing this thing. we really, you know, that is who really is just working this thing in us and through us? It's God. It's the Holy Spirit that's working in us. See, because that's why he said when we are bearing fruit, he means that our life is to reflect our faith and our relationship with God. Scripture says in John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Then he tells us that we are to abide in him, for apart from him, we can't do what? Anything. And he said in our bearing fruit that the Father is glorified. And so he said this because we can't do it without him. You know, one of the things that I learned in my walk, in my relationship with God, I learned not to put any hope or any trust in myself. I don't put any hope in my ability to read scripture. I don't put any hope in any spiritual discipline that I may develop. Because one thing that I learned about myself is that the good that I would do, I don't. And the very evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. I recognize that what? I'm a wretched man. And I need what? A savior. And I need God's help to even do even so much as the little thing that we do in Christ. That's why he said that we are strengthened according to his glorious might. Look what God has done. You think you can live this whole Christian life in and of yourself? I'm letting you know you can't. You can't do it. We can't do anything what? Apart from him. This little bit right here, we can't do it. We can't do anything. We can't worship without him. We can't serve him without him. We can't pray without him. We need him for this life. And the good thing about it is so that God has done this thing in such a way that we are really what? Guaranteed success. When we submit ourselves to him and the Spirit leading and guiding, we are guaranteed success. You guarantee success in your prayer. The only thing we have to learn in our prayers is sometimes that God answers prayer according to what? His will. See, one of the things that always go down at the Harris County is that sometimes they come to us and they ask us to pray for them because a lot of times they think they done messed up so bad that God wouldn't hear. And listen to the little sister a while ago. She needs to know that what? When we pray, God will aid us what? In our prayers. He will not only aid us in our prayers, he will teach us in our prayers. But when we pray, we look to him. Because the scripture already said we don't know how to pray as what? As we should. But the Holy Spirit, who knows the will of God, takes our prayers and he makes them so they're what? They are presentable to God. But this whole thing, this whole walk, this whole life that we're living now, we are all living because God's power is working in us and through us. The Apostle Paul said when he wrote the Colossian believers, that his going forth, is he did so in the power of God. He wasn't even what? Relying upon himself. Paul, because of his relationship with God, could go forward and do as God would have him to do. Because of our relationship and knowing him, the peace of God will what? Guide our hearts. We already have the victory. He told us that we have the victory. That's why we can focus our minds. Like Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, he said, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So if you're going to build your relationship with God through prayer, you have to know the will of God in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. If you want to build your relationship with God, you need to know you need to know that you have you have to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. But also, if you're going to build a relationship with God, you have to know that God's will was to rescue you. His will was to rescue you. And all the things that I'm saying now is to give you the encouragement to know that you can come to him, what? In prayer. If you messed up, and this is what I had to tell a brother downtown. If you mess up, he said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But not only that, if you mess up, if you do sin, you remember that you what? You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, what? The righteous one. And he is what? The atoning sacrifice, what? For our sins. But if you're going to build your relationship with God, you need to recognize that he what? Rescued you. Watch it. Colossians 1, 12 through 14 say, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Now look what that passage said. God qualified us. He qualified us. He is the one who made us what? Sufficient. He is the one who enables us. God is the one who does what? All the work. That's why I try to tell everybody, it's God who works in us and through us. It's scripture said that he is the one who began the work and he will see it to the end. That ought to encourage everybody. You ought to recognize that when the time comes, Lord, I need your help. Guess what? He's going to help you. He qualified us, and then he said he rescued us. You know, I remember when I was about 11 years old, and we used to go to Sunnyside Pool. And I remember jumping into the deep water. And it wasn't the first time. I've been in the deep water before. But this time, when I come up, something went wrong. I didn't come up right. And I'm struggling. I'm drowning. And then Mr. Herbert, he jumps in the pool, and he comes in, and guess what? He rescues me. He pulls me, what? To safety. The nation of Israel was in slavery in Egypt. It was believed that it was many as 2 million people was in Israel. But guess what? They didn't have the wisdom. They didn't have the power. They didn't have the knowledge or the understanding to deliver themselves out of their bondage. And then God showed up. See, they knew about God. What they knew about him, that he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they didn't know him until what? Moses come on the scene, and God, what? He shows up. And what he does, he rescues them through the plagues that he put upon the nation of Egypt. But then he takes them out of Egypt, and they get to the river, and they find themselves trapped. And here comes Pharaoh's army right behind them, and they're looking to be destroyed. But what does God do? He opens up the sea, and they walk across on dry land. We were enslaved to sin. We didn't have the wisdom. We didn't have the power, we didn't have the knowledge nor the understanding to get ourselves out of the predicament that we were in. We were stuck there until God showed up. Because God came in and he clothed himself in humanity and came down to earth, lived a perfect life, and then he went to the cross, shed his blood on the cross. And then on the third day, after being buried in the tomb, he rose up again. See, God showed up in the person of what? Jesus Christ. He rescued us. And then not only did he rescue us, he said he transferred us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. Because while we were in darkness, and it's in Christ, we have redemption. You know, redemption means that it's to pay a price. And he paid that price for us. And because he paid that price for us, we can now what? Receive forgiveness. And you know, and you try to tell, I try to tell the brothers there, you don't have to walk around feeling guilty. You don't have to walk around anymore feeling shame. Because why? Because Jesus already paid the price for your sin. And I say that to them, and I say that to anybody in here. You don't have to walk around with guilty anymore. You don't have to walk around feeling shame anymore. Because why? Jesus had already what? Paid the price for your sin. You are now free to pursue God's will for your lives. Now, the other thing I tell them, I say God's will is revealed in Scripture. Because a lot of people are trying to figure out, what am I to do? You know, am I to be what? A minister? Am I to work in this ministry? Or am I to work in that ministry? I tell them, I don't know. I don't worry about that. What I need you to recognize is what it says in the Scripture, that we walk in a manner that he will have us to walk. All the things that God said for you to do, that's his will for you to do. The things that he tell you not to do, that's his will for you what? For you not to do those things. God's will has been revealed to us in Scripture. We don't need a metal detector as though we're walking on the beach trying to find out what God's will is. It's already written in the Bible. Now, you may want to know in particular a certain area that you went in, and God may give you a passion for whatever that area may be. Like for me, I didn't know. When I first came to Christ, you know, I was over there at Blue Ridge Baptist Church, and I didn't know what area that I needed to serve. I thought I could sing in the choir. And I'm singing in the choir, and I'm finding out something ain't right. You know, it just don't seem enough. And then I'm doing the brotherhood, and we go in the brotherhood on Mondays, and then it seemed like it's still not enough, because the thing that moved me was the fact that I read in the Scripture that about people being in the world, being alienated from Christ, separated from Christ, without hope and without God. And that shook me. And I couldn't figure out, you know, singing in the choir, we were going to this church, and we were going to that church, and we were going to this church, and I thought we were doing it, then something hit me, no, that's not it. And then here comes Sister Ernestine. Sister Ernestine was a lady that at Blue Ridge, and they made me work with her. They made me work with her. And ministering to the junior boys, Sunday school class. Now, what they didn't know, that even though I had started coming to the brotherhood, I didn't know that much. But the sisters wanted some men in the class with the kids in the Sunday school. And they put me with the junior boys. And little did I know, I needed to be right in that class. Because I was struggling with my salvation. I believed God, I trusted in God, the Lord Jesus, when I was 16 years old. But I have to admit that after that 16, after that being baptized, guess what? When they gave the invitation for all those who had the desire to be ministers in the gospel, and something was telling me to get up and move, but I said, not me. And I went on a long-term rebellion. I ran for a long time. Sister Ernestine was the instrument by which God led me into the ministry that I do now. She came to me and said, and that's what's so strange about her. Sister Ernestine was a very attractive lady. When she walked into a room, heads turned, right? All the men looked at her, and all the women, they didn't like her per se. But she always carried herself in a certain way, in a respectable way. You know, she didn't get in with the crowd on the Women in White Day and none of that. She didn't do anything like that. She just said to me, she didn't speak to me first. She would say hi. But then she had to turn to my wife and she said, is it all right if I speak to your husband? I thought that was strange. That really tripped me out. I said, why she keep doing that every time she want to say something to me? She turned and asked permission for you. And my wife said, she's just showing respect. So she said, I feel like you have a burden on you. I say, Sister Ernestine, I want to do something, but I don't know what to do. So what did she do? She said, I know a friend. I have a friend that I can introduce you to, and he can help you. And so she introduced me with Chaplain G. Now, I had to go meet him at the Harris County Jail. And once I got to the Harris County Jail, he met me downstairs. Then he took me up to the seventh floor. Now, I've never been in a jail before. That's my first time seeing a jail. I have a lot of relatives that tell me about jail. They tell me about jail and TDC, but I've never been there. But here I am. I'm going in this jail. I got on my Metro uniform. I'm going in, and then we go to the room. He said, hey, you got a Bible? I said, no, I don't have one. He said, get one of those Bibles right there. It was one of those Gideon Bibles. And then he takes me to one of the tanks. And the next thing I know, I look around, and he gone. He done left me in this tank with all these guys. He introduced me to a couple of them, and so we standing there, and we talking, and I don't know what else to do until one of them started asking, what you got to share with us today? I said, what you talking about? He said, you here? What you going to share with us today? I say, oh, the only thing I knew was the Sunday school lesson. Well, once I did that Sunday school lesson, I knew this is where the Lord would have me to be. And so that day, when I left out of there and went to Chaplain G, I said, man, you left me by myself. And he said, you all right, right? I said, well, yeah. So then he takes me to downstairs, and he gives me a badge for Harris County. Now, he didn't really ask me if I was going to come back. But I knew it was the place that I was supposed to be. It had to be. Because on that day, that was my wedding anniversary. And I'm walking around in Harris County Jail. And I've been in that ministry ever since. And the only thing I'm getting at, you may want to know God's will and what particular area that you want to serve in. You only get to do it by serving. All right? Don't wait for it to fall out of the air and hit you. You got to start working. You got to start serving what? In the church. In Good Hope, they have rooted and grounded. And the whole purpose of rooted and grounded is to get what? The mature you in Christ, but to get you to the area what? Of that of serving. Because only when you start serving will you really know what specific will that God area that God will have you what to serve in? But you know His will. What He say do, that's what you do. And what He tell you not to do, that's what you don't do. And one of the things He tells us to do, He tells us to pray. And what helped me in the area of that of prayer, I read the prayers of the saints in the Bible. That's where I know what to pray for. I look at them. See, I pray for the body of Christ. I pray for the government. I pray for individuals. Why? Because the scripture tells me what? That's what I am to do. So God does speak through prayer. But if you're gonna know how God speaks, you got to know His will. You got to start walking in a manner worthy of Him. You got to know and recognize that what God has done in you and through you, that He rescued you and gave you a life in Christ. Now, there may be somebody out here that don't know that. But here's what the gospel is. And the gospel says this. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All come under condemnation because of sin. God said, you be holy as I am holy. But the reality is, guess what? We know we can't, there's no way that we can come up to that standard. See, our problem is we try to measure ourselves by that of other people. No, other people are not the standard. God is the standard, and we all fall short of his glory. Because why? He says in Scripture, there are none that are righteous, not one. There's no one who does good. When they open their mouth, guess what? Poison come out of it. And they have what? No fear of God. They're not afraid to reject me. They're not afraid to deny me. They're not afraid to do the wrong that they do in front of me. But here's what God did. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross and to pay for your sins and my sins. The Bible said that only by believing, by trusting in the person, the work of Jesus Christ, can you be saved. There's no other name in all of heaven or in all of creation by which anyone can be saved except by the name of Christ. You have to believe. Just as you sit in the chair and you trusted the chair to hold you up, you have to trust in Christ. Trust in Christ alone. Don't try to rely on your spiritual discipline. Don't try to rely on your own strength or your own wisdom, or your own power. You have to put all your reliance, all your trust upon Jesus Christ. Now say that, because there might be someone who don't know that. And if there is someone who doesn't know that, and you like to come forward and put your trust in Christ for your salvation, you can do that. Is there anybody who don't know Christ, would like to know him? You can come today. Salvation is in Christ. It's in Christ alone. You have to believe in him and trust in him for your salvation. And I'm saying this because I know this. You might not come walking up to the front. But I share with you the gospel as to what it is that you have to believe. You can be anywhere, and God will speak to you, will bring to your remembrance the gospel that Christ died for you, and that he rose from the grave, and that he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father until the day, what? He comes back. All you have to do is believe. It's faith. It's to put your reliance, your trust in him. And it's all by what? Grace. You know the thing about grace, you can't earn grace. You don't even deserve grace. It's unmerited. If you could buy it, you don't have enough money. If you can do some works, you can't do enough. Because it's all grace. Grace is a gift. And you either take the gift or you reject it. Not like we do at Christmas time, right? Somebody give you a gift, you don't like it. And so you save it till the next year to re-gift it to somebody else. But that's not how grace is. All you have to do is take the gift. And if God is moving in your heart right now to trust in him, don't resist it. Just submit. Say, Lord, I believe that you gave your son and that he died on the cross for my sins. And I'm trusting in you right now. Forgive me, Lord, for my unbelief. Forgive me, Lord, for my sin. I believe that Jesus Christ is your son, and that he died and rose again, and that one day he is coming back. Just believe. But even in that, somebody might be looking for a church home. I want to extend the invitation for you if you're looking for a place to come and worship. Good Hope is a good place. We got a pastor who really preaches and teaches the word. Because if I said anything up here today that didn't gel with him, I can promise you I'm going to hear it. And I don't mind that. Because the last thing I want is to mislead anybody. Because we're all in this journey, what? Together. You help me, I help you. We all, what? Help each other. So if you're looking for a church home, you need a place to come and worship, a place where you can grow, a place where you can belong, Good Hope is the place.